the verse that Claire read from Mark. So that was from Jesus, and that's actually a command for us. Some of us might look at that and think that it's optional, but it's not. So if we're honest, a lot of us might look at that command and think that's pretty intimidating. Like if the idea of go out and share the gospel with every creature, I mean, come on, really? But the truth is, a lot of serving God is intimidating. It's not just sharing the gospel. There's a lot of other things that God wants us to do, has us doing, that if we're honest, we're pretty scared. So some off the top of my head that I can think of, I've heard some people, they're afraid to come to church because they have social anxiety, right? I've heard people say that, and that's kept them from being here. Or that people intimidate them. I'm afraid to come to church because they're all just judging me there, right? So I've heard those sorts of things. Other people, they're afraid they don't fit in, right? Like, they're too old, you know, or too young. Everybody's got a different background, or I come from a different culture or ethnicity. Or they're just afraid that nobody likes them. You know, nobody likes me there at church. The idea of going down for lunch is intimidating. The idea of engaging new people, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go out the door because it's too scary, right? For some, it's not people. It's God wants them to give something up. He's not happy with something like a harmful habit, and they're afraid to trust God to do that. They're afraid to trust him, but they're not afraid of the consequences of not. For some others, it might be stepping up to a class. Or if you are in a class here, you're afraid to participate, maybe. So you're afraid of sounding foolish. Could be stepping into service in church. That could be intimidating. Going out in the community and putting up posters or anything in the community. Giving out coffee, giving out a flyer. You want to come to a Bible study, you know. For others, it might be missions. You know, going on a missions trip. I don't know what to expect. That's kind of scary. It requires a lot of me. But, you know, whether it's somewhere else or here in the community. And some are afraid of membership. We offer church membership here where we have it. And they're afraid of commitment. You know, the list goes on. A lot of times it's fear of failure. I can't handle it. Or I'm not good enough for that. For other people, it could be, you know, maybe you're fine with all this. No problem at church, right? I can handle that. But you ask me to go to my neighbor and share the gospel? That's a little too much for me, right? Or it's a coworker. You know, this coworker of mine, I can tell he really hates Jesus, and no way would I ever even try, because he would just shut me down right away. But for some people, it might even just be saying hello and breaking the ice, right? Usually the first step. But whatever the case, at the end of the day, a lot of this is just fear of man. Some fear that. Persecution, you know, they might make fun of me. And really, this is just getting out of my comfort zone, right? I just won't do that because I'm afraid. The list is endless. But that's not really what we're going to focus on today. We're going to focus on, as you can see, some lessons in boldness. Because we don't want to be that way. You got to remember, Jesus said, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You've probably heard this, but gates are a defensive thing. So Jesus is like, it's not going to win. We're going to attack it. And we're going to need boldness to do that. And primarily we're going to be talking in terms of the Great Commission, right? Preach the gospel. This can apply to other areas too, but in order to do that, we're going to want to look at Scripture. You don't want to just hear me and my opinion. So we're actually going to have a lot of Bible verses. but that's okay. We'll get through it. We're going to have the verses up there, so you don't need to jump all over. We might not read all of them. But the first thing we're going to look at is our first example. And we're actually going to look at four barriers to boldness, things that keep us from being bold. And so the first thing, before we even look at the example, is we need, if we want to have not... If we want to have boldness, a barrier for not having it would be pride and a lack of the Holy Spirit. Some of us might not have a problem being bold, or at least that's what we think. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit to help us, it's not going to be a good kind of boldness. So our first example is going to be with Peter. If we look in Luke there, Luke 22... before this verse up there, Peter was really bold, and he thought he was bold. He was actually arguing with Jesus about how bold he was. But he's saying, you know, even if everyone else abandons you, I'm not going to do that. But what do we find here is that he's so afraid, because there's a few people asking him, are you with Jesus? He's so afraid that he's scared of a little servant girl. I mean, this is St. Peter, right? But he's scared of a little servant girl. So much for his bravado, right? But that wasn't the end for Peter. A little bit later, Jesus came and restored him. But if we look at Luke 24, James there, we see that the disciples, they were all kind of scared at a certain point. But Jesus says, I'm going to send the promise of the Father on you, but you better stay in Jerusalem until you're endued with power on high. He's talking about the Holy Spirit there. So he's basically saying, don't go do all the stuff you're going to do until you have the Holy Spirit. It would be not very good if they tried to do it without the Holy Spirit. I mean, they wrote the Bible, all these other things. If your Bible wasn't inspired by the Spirit, that wouldn't be very good. But another thing about the Spirit, in 2 Timothy, James, it tells us that the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear. So we're talking fear and boldness. That's not the Holy Spirit that gives us that. The Holy Spirit is a he. He actually gives us boldness. So if we kind of contrast, we looked at Peter when he was scared of the little girl. Now let's look at him. If you go to the Acts 4:8-1, James, Peter now has the Spirit. And you can see it says, then Peter, filled with the Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people, and we won't read all of it, but you can see in verse 10 up there that he's confronting these people that are really going to throw him in jail, but he's like, you know what? You crucified Christ. The stone which was rejected by you builders, it was rejected by you. And he's like willing to, you know, confront them, even though it means he's probably going to get thrown in prison. And so much to the point where they noticed, you know, in verse 13 there, they're like, these guys must have been with Jesus. Like, they're bold. They're not even trained, right? So we notice that difference. The only other thing we'll say on this one, and we'll move to the next, is that some people don't need the Holy Spirit to be bold. Like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to tell everyone about Jesus. And there's some people like that, naturally just pretty bold. Well, you need the Holy Spirit to be loving and gentle, right? Like, you can't just, you know. So we need the Holy Spirit no matter what. So we're going to look at our next one now, though. Won't camp too long there. Our next one, our example, is the barrier to boldness would be only considering your abilities. And you can go there, yeah, James. Only considering your abilities and the lack of them and not considering what God can do. So we're looking at Moses here. Moses has actually been arguing with God for like two chapters about how he's not able to do what God's telling him to do. Literally two chapters. And he says, I'm not eloquent, Lord, I'm paraphrasing, but never since you started speaking to me, I'm slow of speech and tongue. And God's like, well, who made mouths, right? But what's Moses doing here? He's not even considering what God can do. He's only considering what he can do. And that would be a question for us to consider. Do you argue with God like Moses, right? Like, you know, whatever it is, I just can't do that, God. I just can't. I won't do it. Fortunately and unfortunately, God was gracious to Moses. He still got to serve God, but he missed out on some things. Aaron, his brother, had to actually do the talking. So one question to consider, does your weakness actually give you more confidence or less? James, if you jump to the next one, this is a biblical principle here. God's actually made perfect his strength in our weakness. But the question is, do we actually feel that way? Do you actually think that? Because I think if we're honest, a lot of us don't. We feel we need to be strong in order for God to be strong. That's just simply not the case. That's not what Scripture shows. So next time you feel weak and you're going to do something, remember this. Okay, God's actually strong here, so I'm not going to like bow back and not do it. I'm going to go for it and trust God, right? So I'm going to go to our next barrier here. James, you can jump to the Luke 12 one. Next barrier is misplaced fear. This is where we get fear of man. The issue isn't fear. It's that fear, it's misplaced. See what happens here. Jesus says, I say you, don't be afraid of those who kill the body. They can't do anything after that. But I'll show you who you should fear is him who, after he's killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. So when we think about, first of all, here in America, usually it's not like we're going to, you know, get killed. It's more like someone's going to make fun of us. But we're afraid of that person. We actually should be afraid of God. And fear of God actually is a thing in the Bible. And unfortunately, in this day and age, we don't like to hear that. We just want to think of God as, you know, lovey-dovey, which he is very loving. Don't get me wrong, but fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom, the Bible says. And Jesus, I mean, he's saying, you should fear that God will cast you into hell. I mean, that's not a light thing that he's saying. So when we're afraid of man, we should really consider his words here. Just a couple other verses, James, to maybe strike a little fear into you. Jesus says that those who know his master's will and don't prepare themselves will be beaten with many stripes. And even more so, the Matthew one, whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father is in heaven. Those are some pretty heavy verses. If you really think about it, I mean, you could read that and be like, no big deal, but he really means it. So if we want to have boldness, again, if we misplace our fear and have it in man instead of God, we're not going to be bold. Let's jump to the next one. Hold on, James. If you did already, don't worry about it. But talking about fear, we're going to expand on that. So we live in a fear-dominated age, right? You read the news, look all over, everyone's afraid. I talk to people all the time. They're just terrified, politics, this and that, you name it. But the main thing is it's dominating. There's paranoia everywhere. There's mental health issues everywhere, right? But the thing that I don't think we understand, especially as a society or even in the church, is that right living actually affects that more than we realize. I don't know if James, if you want to jump to that proverb. This proverb actually gives us some insight. It says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And this is kind of an intense verse. I mean, this is one you might just pass by, but if this characterizes your life, take note. This could be you. You might be the wicked. I will say in my life, there was a time when this verse came to me, and I had to grapple with the fact that I was the wicked in that verse. Like, I thought I was the righteous, but I wasn't. I was not bold, and I knew I was the wicked. But coming to terms with that, that was a little more difficult. But it may be something some of us have to come to terms with. Another verse along these lines, James, if you go to that Leviticus verse, God's basically given what will happen for the Israelites who disobey him, and he's basically saying, for those that are left, I'm going to send faintness into their hearts. The sound of a shaken leaf will cause them to flee, like they're fleeing from a sword. You know, like no one's running after them. Leaves are making these people jump, right? I mean, but if we're honest, there's some of us that may be living that way. I know for a time I was, and that verse described it to a T. So something to consider is if you're living in disobedience to God, it's going to lead to many mental health issues. It just is. And I will add to this, we're talking about boldness and in the context of sharing the gospel. If you don't have a right relationship with God, you really have no business sharing the gospel. It makes you a hypocrite. So you need to square your relationship with God before you can go and tell others, right? There's hope here. You know, like that previous verse, the righteous are bold as a lion. If you're the wicked, become righteous. That's what Christ died for. He took our sins on the cross, right? So we can put our faith in him and have him wiped out and forgiven and become righteous and become bold. We don't do it for boldness. We do it for salvation and to know God. But since we're talking about boldness, it will help. Moving on, one last example of a barrier to boldness. Actually, no, we're done with the barriers. We're going to look at where some other examples of how we can get righteousness. I don't know if you turn to this Psalm 1, but if boldness comes from God, right, the Holy Spirit, then the first thing here is praying for it, literally praying for it. If God has to give it, you kind of got to ask him, right? Even if you think you're so naturally bold, well, what do you have that didn't come from God? But you should pray that he helps you. And part of this is praying expectantly, not just doubting, like, well, God, please give me boldness, which you probably won't. No, we need to expect. And I think sometimes we know that he will give us boldness, and we're maybe too afraid to ask because we know he might actually do it. And what does that mean? You know, what is he going to do if he gives me boldness? What will I have to do, right? Well, don't be, because think about it, you'll be bold. You won't have to worry about that. Again, we see this prayer concept, James, if you go to the next one with the Acts, we see that they're praying to God here. Look on their threats, grant their servants with all boldness that we may speak their word. And then when they prayed, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. And we see another example of Paul doing the same thing. Just an excerpt of the verse, but God answered the prayer. So we have to pray expectantly. So we're going to go to the next one now. The next thing about boldness. Another example for us, James, if you go, there we go. So we look at somebody in Scripture that was quite bold, Apollos. And what helped make him bold was he knew the Scripture. Well, there's two things, really. We'll cover both. First one, he knew the Scripture. I mean, this guy, he just knew it. We see at the end that he's boldly refuting the Pharisees. Oh, I'm on the wrong verse on mine, but he's vigorously refuting the Jews publicly from the Scriptures. One thing you'll notice about him is he's not Minnesota nice, right? Like, Paulus, no. Some of us might be a little too Minnesota nice to be willing to be bold. Well, we don't want to get into an argument, or we don't want to, you know, vigorously refute somebody from the Scriptures, because that wouldn't be kosher. Well, Paulus didn't mind. So the first question about this for us to think about is, are you mighty in the scripture, or are you puny? Are you too Midwestern to publicly refute somebody? And if you do, could you do it from the scripture, or is everything you say to somebody just your opinion, like you can't back it up, right? The other thing that about Apollos that stands out is that he was humble. So it's one thing to know the scripture, and I can tell you what's right and wrong, but Apollos, we see that he actually wasn't quite right, and he had to get some correction, but he actually humbly took it. You're not going to be any good if you're so bold but not humble. God won't use you. God doesn't use the proud. He opposes the proud. But you see also one last thing here is that his boldness in the last part where it says he greatly helped those who believed through grace. Your boldness, if you're willing to be bold, you might infuse others with boldness, and you're going to help others because some others may be timid. Now, all this, don't get the impression that you just need to be a smart college-educated person, right? You know, Apollos, he was gifted, probably more than a lot of people. But James, if you go to the next one here, we see, as we already read, that the disciples, when they were bold, the Jews, they're like, well, these guys are uneducated and untrained. The qualifier for them was that they knew Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. And that's good to know, because you don't need to know all the answers. Some of us are afraid to, you know, engage people with the gospel because we're afraid we don't know the Bible that well. I mean, you should learn it better, but don't let that stop you. God can do a lot through a passionate new believer. I've seen it. I mean, they're just love God, and I'm going to tell you this and that, and they don't know anything, but they're bold, right? The other thing about this was that they could not, their response, they said, I cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. In other words, like, they were compelled. Like, they just couldn't not. Like, if they tried to keep it in, it's like fire in their bones, you know? Like, now that's a question for us to think about is, does God's word ever compel you? Or are you able to just, like, I don't care whether I share the gospel or not, no big deal, you know, indifferent. One other quick one, James, if you jump to that Philippians, we see that oftentimes boldness is connected with threat or suffering. You don't really need to be bold if there's no threat, right? It doesn't take much. But a lot of times it is in the context of suffering. God actually gives his servants boldness. You know, they're in prison, this and that, or they're facing execution or prison. That doesn't come from them. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And God is kind enough to take care of us if we're willing to do it. He also comforts and encourages. There's no verse here, but there's a certain point when Paul's traveling where Jesus actually comes to him and he says, keep going, you're on the right track. Hopefully God does that with some of us here, that he encourages and comforts you as you go. One other thing we'll look at here is zeal and passion. So another example we're looking at is Paul. And you don't have to turn to that Romans one yet, so hold on, James. But Paul was a really zealous guy. So this is a quality that helped him to be bold. He was just really zealous. If you look before he was a Christian, he was even zealous. That was just something God gave him, right? I mean, when he was putting Stephen to death, when he's persecuting all the Christians, he was just a really zealous guy. And God, he used it, right? I mean, what a guy to save. I mean, he's so zealous, and he goes and he, like, saves the world, basically. I mean, we're reading stuff from him. But one thing about it is some of us here may not be so zealous, and unfortunately indifference might keep some of us from being bold or stepping into true service of God, just pure indifference. And you might say, like, well, God used Paul's passion. He's a really zealous guy. He's way more zealous than me. That's probably true. And you may not be as naturally passionate, but you are passionate about something, right? You probably are. Now, take that thing, and if you were as passionate about God as that, well, God could use that. Now, James, you can advance. One other passion for Paul was he was actually passionate for the lost, to the point where his fellow Jews, he was willing to go to hell for them. He was so passionate about these guys, and he loved them so much. He's like, I would literally go to hell if I could. Doesn't work that way, though. Jesus is the only one who can trade places with us, not Paul, not any of us. But the point is, he had so much passion. I mean, can any of us truly say that? I don't think I can. I don't think I would say that, you know. But hopefully we can grow in our love. So the last one here on this category, we're going to move on, is we're going to see that another quality that Paul had was love of truth versus pleasing people. Go ahead, James, go to this Galatians one. So you could see two things here. One, we could see it's in the Galatian church, and you have Peter here. And we find, if you read the verse there, that Peter actually is afraid again. So he seemed to sometimes waffle back and forth from being bold to being scared of men. He was actually scared of men so much that he started to compromise the gospel. This is an apostle. It's a pretty big deal if you compromise the gospel. Imagine if he had, what kind of Bible would we have, right? So Paul, even though Peter is, you know, one of the pillars of the church, Paul's like, I don't care. You compromise the gospel, I will go after you. And Paul did. He says, when I saw they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, before everybody, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? So Paul defended the gospel even to the likes of Peter, who wrote part of the Bible. He doesn't care. He's bold, and he loves the truth. So it's good for us to remember. Now, the last part of things here that we're going to talk about is, you know, first we talked about some barriers to boldness. Then we looked at some examples of things that can add to our boldness. The third place is, all right, what's a good place for us to start then? I mean, obviously, I think we all fall short of where we want to be. But what's a good place to start? And a good place to start, and we'll go through some things, but is going to be actually cultivating boldness with God through the grace of Christ. Like, we want to share the gospel and all these things, but until we have God in the picture, it's not going to work so well. The first thing we have to remember, James, if we go to that 2 Corinthians, there we go. So we have to remember that, and I'll just read it. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not the letter of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. So Paul's boldness here comes from the hope of Christ. He knows it comes from God. I've heard it said, and I believe it's true, that God doesn't need the able, just the willing. We always wait for us to be able to do something. Step up and be willing to fail, all right? But trust God, and maybe you won't fail, actually. So, the next thing, we need to come boldly before the throne. James, if you go to that Hebrews verse. So again, this idea of, if we want to start with boldness, we got to start with God. It says, I'll read the verse. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For if we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us in our weakness, but he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. If we keep reading in Hebrews, we'll find that it's by his blood. Again, this is where we start. We start by being made right with God through the blood of Christ. That's the only way we can do it. I mean, a lot of us want to do the right thing, or if I just come to church enough, if I just do this or that. It's not how it works. It's only through Christ's atonement that we can be saved. We put our faith in Christ, and he took our sins for us, and God punished him, and he traded places with us. So if this is a struggle for you, that's why the Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. So we start there. All right. One other one here is we need to be perfected in love. James, if you go to that 1 John verse, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been perfected in his love. So this would be a good place to start if you lack boldness. Are you perfected in his love? Because remember, the Holy Spirit isn't a spirit of fear. There's always room for growth here. So this is somewhere to always come back. If you keep reading in the context here, it's talking about love for brothers. But also we should have love for our enemies. You know, Jesus says all these things. Starting there, if we're perfected in God's love, we will have love for others. It will compel us to want to share the truth, share what God's actually done for us. So if that's the case, then what ought we to do? James, if you want to go to this slide here. In Mark 5:19, there's a guy that Jesus comes to and he heals him. And he says to the guy, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. If God has done great things for you and had compassion, all you got to do is go share that with other people. It's not that hard. It's scary. And there's, you know, a lot of things against us. But if we keep reading the Bible, there's many more examples. And you know, read the Old Testament. You got people conquering armies by themselves, all kinds of things. They're there as for us to look at and be inspired and take courage and do it.